the text or our message is Matthew 9:9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of customs. And he said unto him, "Follow me." And he arose and followed him. This is the text of our message today. The call of the brothers who were fishermen, Peter and Andrew, James and John. These are very familiar to us. And they all left the net straight away and followed Jesus. In this case, it is Matthew who is a tax collector. And when Jesus called him, he also arose immediately and followed him. Jesus chose his disciples from all walks of life. And the reason for choosing Matthew must be for another reason. As a tax collector, his place of work is at Capernaum, the hometown of Jesus. Jesus had left Nazareth to make his headquarters in Capernaum. So the miracles and the marvelous works that he had done were most in Capernaum. Matthew, sitting as a government tax collector in his customs office, must have seen Jesus many times passing in and out of Capernaum and performing miracles there. He had believed in his heart. Now he feels a call to serve him full time. Jesus knows all our thoughts and considerations, and he reads what even we are thinking now. He sees the earnest demeanor of Matthew, and he knew that it was time. And so he called him, and he immediately followed him. Matthew is the author of the Gospel of Matthew, and he speaks very briefly of himself. But Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, expands further to tell us that he not only arose to follow, but he left all, and that he then made a big feast in honor of Jesus, and he invited all his fellow tax collectors and other friends, that they should come and hear his testimony. And I'm very sure he told them how wonderful it was to observe the Savior, his Lord, and how he had already believed, and he had already considered how he would like to serve Jesus than the Roman government. And Jesus was there to bless. It is good always to give a public testimony when we have received any grace from God, to give him all the glory. When I repented from going to London because our Lord had thoroughly crushed me, and I repented, my father, who wanted me to go to London to study law, of course, he also changed his mind, and he was very happy as he saw it was the hand of God. He not only announced it to the whole church, but he told his outside friends. This was in Batu Pahat. The principal of the girls' school of Batu Pahat, a very fervent Christian, heard about my case, and she felt sorry. And she said, I should go on to study medicine. When I returned from America after my study, I preached in the church where she appeared. This time, she came to congratulate me, for she must have grown in spiritual life and knowledge. Whether friend or foe will like our testament or not, it's a good thing to testify to the Lord in such a case. And there will be results. It will be a blessing to many hearts. And so I'm very sure that Pui Ming today, as she said a few brief words to you, and you see that she is committed to the call, you must have some reaction. Perhaps some of you will be saying, oh, what a life to go there. Will she be able to undertake all the assignments? But all of us must rather pray for her. Now the question is asked, why did Jesus choose Matthew? Matthew was of a different cut, different training from the fishermen on the Sea of Galilee. He must have received some good education and of honest character that the Roman government appointed him to be tax collector at Capernaum. At least we know one thing, he would be able to render clear accounts. On the other hand, he must also be able to write. And in choosing Matthew, he became the author of the gospel after his name, namely the Gospel of Matthew. This was the first gospel of the four gospels to be written. And it was written between 60 and 66 BC, according to the scholars, during the time when Paul and Peter were founding the church in Rome. Matthew remained in Jerusalem for about 15 years, and he went out as a missionary to Persia, and finally ended as a martyr for the faith in Ethiopia, which is according to tradition. So we thank God that Matthew had lived a life that was pleasing to God and had accomplished the purpose that God had for him. Today this sermon is in our serial preaching, and it falls perfectly in line with our sister Chan Pui Ming, who is our missionary to the Maasai land in Kenya as a nurse. And she comes in for such a time as this, when there is an urgent call from New Life BB Church for a nurse in order to start a clinic because they have a good colony of people. Young people, students, and others who are farmers staying in this newly developed land by Dr. Patrick Tan, the leader, and the New Life Church. So her coming in is very, very appropriate. It is noted that the two missionaries that go before Pui Ming to Maasai land in Kenya, the first one is an educationist, Lillian, and the second one is an administrator. How much more is Pui Ming needed and biblically needed? Because when the Lord sent the apostles into all the world to preach the gospel, He armed them specially with the powers to heal the sick, cast out devils, cleanse the lepers, and raise the dead. Therefore, apart from preaching the gospel, medical missions comes next. And we are sending our sisters there in the conventional way. But another group of people called the charismatics have been trying to do the work of the apostles, working signs and wonders. And they say they can cast out devils, raise the dead, heal the sick, just a one touch, which is self-deception. The gifts of healing, casting out devils, and so forth were given to the apostles alone, as is declared in two places in the Acts of the Apostles, the one in Acts chapter 5. And these gifts have been withdrawn for them to do this is surely to usurp the powers of the apostles and to go beyond the commandments of God. Sorry to say, they can do nothing at all. But thank God, God has given the world many, many things since the times of the apostles. And they are given to us providentially, like the advancement of medicine. It is so advanced from the time of the days of the apostles. And God gives us the invention of headache pills. And if you take two tablets, you'll be okay in half an hour. But there were those who were very zealous for the faith, but in the wrong way, even Johnson followers. They would refuse to take two tablets of headache pills. And they would say, if you do it, you have no faith. We must only pray through until the headache is over. But the Lord says, these are good gifts to the world. And if you do not treasure the Lord's good things, you suffer yourself. Ours is a conventional medical mission. And I'm very sure when Sister Pui Ming goes there administering the right drugs and medicines, the people there will be cured. And through this, they would be led close to the Lord to believe in Him. To give you a very good example, it is the EP mission, English Presbyterian Mission, who brought the gospel to us through William Burns in the year 1856. By 1863, they had already built a hospital. And through the hospital, many, many medical missionaries came. And soon they also started a medical school with 5 years training. And my father was one of the beneficiaries of this medical school. He trained for 5 years. And even when the Lord opened a way for him to practice in Johor, registered as an unregistered doctor, he became our lifeline to give us a good education through his earnings. The success of the medical mission of the English Presbyterian Church was so great that thousands literally believed throughout the years. There was a district officer, according to the records of the mission, who was saved from typhoid, and he was so happy. And his whole family who were sick were also healed. He would like to contribute to the work of the church, so he would give 50 cents to everyone who would attend church. Now, 50 cents was a lot of money, but that was his way of expression of gratitude to the Lord. I am very sure our conventional missionary outreach is right. Using all the arts, all the science that God has given to medical missionaries, it will bear much fruit to the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now let us realize that we are living in the very last days before Jesus Christ comes. In Matthew 24:14, our Lord says about the signs of his coming, and one of them is that there will be an accelerated movement of missions. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. According to a missionary estimate, there must at least be 400,000 missionaries to do the work of missions in this age. When I was in the States 50 years ago, the statistics were 215,000. Now it is double. In order to fulfill the work of preaching the gospel. And it's realized that those who directly preach the word only form one third. The preachers, the pastors, the evangelists. And the other two thirds are composed of administrators, technicians, medical missionaries, so forth and so forth. So you can see there is such a great need to have missionaries to perform their duties around the world. There has arisen a great movement for missions in the Far East, and that is from Korea. According to Dr. Moon, who is in touch with the missionary statistics, there are at least 8,000 Korean missionaries gone into 120 countries in the world.
So we really thank God for the zeal and the strength of the Korean church. So that wherever you go, you say you can see a Chinese restaurant in the world. Now wherever you go in the world, you sure see a Korean church. How about us? So far as life is concerned, we thank God we have been trying our best to do what we can. And we have now 20 missionaries in the ASEAN countries, to Saipan, and the latest added to the list is Kenya. We must not let our missionary effort be decreased because of we have our new Bueller House program. But God is true, and through the hearts of our people, they have directed to missions and now to our sister Chan Pui Ming. I say you must not do anything to change the situation. The giving to Bueller House might have tapered off somewhat, but we must not curtail, we must not hinder the progress of missions. Now there are some missionaries who go out there, and it's a fine thing because I'm here in the field and no one can see what I'm doing. And if I make the reports, well, I can always blow it up a bit, which is very natural for human beings. But if you are not true, the Lord will not have you. For here, the Lord Jesus says to those who would like to follow him, that if you are not serious, you better don't go to the mission field. And here he says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I would apply this and challenge our young people, no matter how well situated you are, like Matthew, having a very secure government job. But if the Lord speaks to you, you must be willing to leave all and follow him. I'd like to speak a word on behalf of Mr. Leong In Chu. He came to the nursing camp. He and the wife had given themselves to serve wherever the Lord would lead them or send them. And in the course of years, he has been to Saipan, he has been to Israel, he has been to Taiwan, various countries where they could stand in the gap and help out. We are very happy to meet him when we are building the kindergarten in Kuantan. And when the kindergarten was finished, we had no one to stay on the premises to take care, to be caretaker of the place. He and the wife willingly went to be caretakers for 6 or 7 months. In our camp essay competition, I received 3 entries, and he is one of them. His case is a special one because he not only tells about the nursing camp, But he gives his life's testimony, and he urges retirees, especially like him. He said, after I retired, he was a school inspector before. After I retired, I gave myself to the Lord, and it's about 20 years now, and he's still going strong. He bids the older folks to step out. When you are much nearer to the kingdom of God, to seeing the Lord, it will be a wonderful thing for you to give your life wherever God would send them, even as caretakers or evangelists, in whatever position that they are put in. And he said how the Lord has blessed us with health and strength. Yes, I would like to give you this counsel from my own practice. The more you serve him, the stronger you will be. So what is it for you? To give up your tourism? If you are like, you like tourism in your old age, then I recommend you join all the missionary tours. There you will see for yourself that it is of so much more value than to enjoy yourself in some foreign country by going to see the needs of the people and see how they may be saved, and you can contribute even from your finance or time. It will do you wonderfully good. With these sentiments, I'm very sure our prayers will go with Sister Chan Pui Ming. And you may be able to visit her too in the near future. And then you'll see for yourself how the Lord has blessed another mission. The Lord loves the whole world. And he does not delineate any country to say this is a special country you must go. Whether it be Cambodia and the people are really starving, or whether you go to a richer country where they are spiritually starving, I believe it is all the same insofar as you fit into God's program for you. And so today, from the call of Matthew, and how he, quite differently from the brothers Andrew and Peter, James and John, who were fishermen, but he was a tax collector. And he was chosen so that he was able to write the Gospel of Matthew after his own name, and that it has become a wonderful book introducing Jesus Christ particularly to the Jews, and that he is the King and the Messiah. So whatever station of life you may be in, and whatever job God gives you to fulfill, he has a plan for every one of us. Let us not shrink when he calls. And that's why I put the song, "Where he leads me, I will follow. I've heard, I can hear my Savior calling." Not at the first, but at the second, as an appeal to others in our midst who may follow in the steps of those who have gone before us. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, stir up our hearts for Thee, even those who have been called and they have been in Thy service. That You revive our hearts, that we may also consecrate ourselves on this very happy occasion, that we will want to serve You to the very end, wherever you will send us. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.